Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Every season we give you ideas and ways you can get out and get involved in the outdoors, and we're going to do that again this morning. Keith and April Peterson here from River Rock Outfitter downtown on Sophia Street in Fredericksburg. Keith and April, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Ted. Glad to be back.
And you have brought a guest, and we'll let you introduce your guest.
We sure have. We're super excited to have Maria Schultz with us this season. So a lot of people in town already know Maria from her SUP instruction and probably more familiar with her SUP with your pup books. But we're excited that she came with us to expand sort of what we already talk about, which is getting people outdoors. But now you can get outdoors and with your pet.
Maria, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Ted.
I never knew anything about the stand-up paddling and the boards and everything until April was my first person to do it. But I see people all over the river these days doing that.
Yeah, stand-up paddleboarding is the fastest growing water sport. It has been for the last several years. And the reason for that is that it's super easy to learn. It's super fun and it's very easy to learn. And easy for people and dogs to learn.
We'll have to really get into because I look at people doing it and I just think, how do you do it? To me, it just looks like you just have to concentrate and you can never move. At least that's how I look at it.
Well, it's surprisingly easy and the boards are really stable. I tell people that canoes and kayaks have rounded hulls and they're really tippy by nature, and a nice wide paddleboard is actually very stable. So when most people get on a paddleboard, they're surprised at how stable it is.
And it's a humbling experience for guys, just because when April and I first started paddleboarding, I think women have a lower center of gravity. So she completely kicked my butt, you know, the first time we went out paddling. And I looked like, I don't know, a fledgling. It was just ridiculous. I couldn't go straight. I couldn't stay on the board half as well as she could. So she blew by me. But at the same time, I had a blast. And it gives you a completely different perspective of the water, because instead of sitting down on the water, you're now standing up 5.5 to 6 feet above. So you actually get a completely different perspective and can see a lot of interesting stuff down below the surface.
That's a great point. Murray, what is it like to be up there, you know, to be able to look down and to do all that?
It's literally like walking on water. It is so neat to be in the middle of a lake and to stand up and to see down. Like, you see fish and turtles and things you normally wouldn't see because your eyeballs are 5 or 6 feet higher than they would be in a kayak. So it's very different.
Is that what keeps you? I mean, because I know you, when you first started talking to me about it a couple of years ago, April, I mean, you were sold on it.
Yeah,
right away.
I love the freedom of a board. And what's interesting is that people get very nervous thinking about putting a SUP on a river. But what they don't understand is, especially that section in downtown Fredericksburg, which is tidal, for the most of the year, it's like paddling on a lake. So it's super easy to put in a board and take a board out. But if you take a look at that section any time during the summer from city docks, you're going to see people out there doing Pilates. You're going to see people literally doing headstands, yoga groups out there doing incredible stuff on boards. You're going to see people out there touring. You're going to see people out there racing. You're going to see people out there with their dogs. I mean, it's incredible just watching from city docks at all the things and all the different ways you can actually use a SUP board on the river. And I think that's what I love most about it, is its versatility. You can't get the same versatility in a boat or in any other application as you can on a SUP.
And especially when it comes to like using the river, using the Rappahannock, you know, like with anything else, if you've been paddling that same section of the Rappahannock in your kayak over and over and over again, it can get to be a little bit mundane. And it gives you just just something new, something fun to experience. And, you know, it's definitely something that especially if you are a kayaker, if somebody who already enjoys the river, you know, to branch out a little bit and try something different. And I think everybody, you know, would really enjoy it, just because it's a little bit of a different activity. It works different muscles than you're used to. And it's just, it's a little bit of a challenge, which just makes it a lot of fun.
And as Maria said, if you really want to kind of check out the state, the health of the river, get on a paddleboard. Because as she mentioned, I don't think people realize we have huge fish in the Rappahannock, especially right there by city docks. I mean, monster cetacean quality bass. But when you're standing up on that board and you get to see the wildlife and the river come to life in that way, you really get to see why we love the Rappahannock so much and all the work that's gone in to help preserve it and protect it. You see it from a paddleboard, and it's really cool.
Every single time I go out, I see a bald eagle. Yeah. It's amazing. I love seeing the eagles on the river.
And especially now with the shad coming in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's a photographer in town who was out trying to snap photos of an osprey coming down and getting a shad. And as he was sitting there really quiet trying to get that photo, all of a sudden he heard rustling by his feet. And he looked down and a river otter was sitting right next to his feet.
You never get to see river otters.
So he put his camera down and started taking a ton of photos. Yeah. But when the shad are out, everything comes out because everybody, it's springtime. They want to eat. The shad, the osprey are fighting for the fish. The heron are in the river as thick as the fishermen are. And obviously river otters are out trying to get food too. So being able to see that, being on a paddleboard, being in a kayak, seeing the shad run, being out there fishing, it's just the river's coming to life in a really cool way.
And now you can experience that with your dog.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Dogs like to see otters too.
I want to get into that in the next segment about that. But when April was talking, Maria, about you know the river coming alive and you know a bald eagle, the one thing about the river that's so interesting, especially if you walk along the quarry trails and you just kind of get away from things and it's quiet in the river, and I bet to be out on a paddle board is just a much different experience just because you're not sitting.
And
you're looking around and seeing things.
Absolutely. And one of the things that that section of the river is especially quiet. We have whitewater sections up there, and it's super quiet. That's one of my favorite places to go because I can really, you know, get away and really connect with nature.
And I think women find it a little bit easier too because boards are I think easier to put up on your vehicle, get them off. There's inflatable models. So it's something that's often more user friendly for lots of different people who may not be able to haul a kayak around a subboard. They would be able to do that and get out on the water.
Absolutely. A 30-pound sup is so much easier to transport than a 70, 80-pound kayak.
And that's one thing that we like to do, too, is if somebody comes by the shop and they get a paddleboard from us, one of the key things that we like to work on is actually just showing them how to load it up on your vehicle. Because once you've done it once, it's just like, oh, this is super simple. You know, I can lash this thing down and go. A lot of people are kind of hesitant. They see this 12-foot board, 10 to 12-foot board, and they think, how in the world am I going to be able to get that on top of my vehicle? How am I going to get it off of my vehicle? And it's actually, all of it is surprisingly simple. It's like anything else. Once you've done it once and you kind of get the process down, it's simple. Not a big deal whatsoever.
Keith Peterson here along with April Peterson and Maria Schultz. We are talking about spring and also we're going to get into in the next segment about getting out and doing things with your pet this spring. RiverRockOutfitter.com, the website. They're at 915 Sophia Street. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Getting out and being out in the spring, that's our focus this morning. Keith and April Peterson here with the River Rock Outfitter and Maria Schultz, an ACA certified paddling instructor here. Also, Maria, you mentioned just a few minutes ago, you talk a lot about getting your pets involved because a lot of times we don't think of that. We just think of us going out.
Right, absolutely. And most people don't. And that was a big reason why I got into stand-up paddleboarding. I wanted a sport that I could take my dog along with. 11 years ago when I got Riley, my Australian Shepherd, who was my first dog, I was determined to take him everywhere and do everything that I could with him. So as a 10-week-old puppy, he was already out rock climbing with me. He was sleeping on my crash pad while I was climbing, and he's done everything with me. And so when I'm out doing things or was out doing things, people would stop me and say, your dog is really well behaved. How did you train him to, you know, be so good outside with you? I'd get all these questions. And then I'd find out that the people weren't bringing their dogs along. And I thought, wait a minute, why did you get a dog? Your dog should be outside enjoying nature with you.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of become my niche, my specialty as a paddleboard instructor. I also teach people how to bring their dogs on paddleboards. And now with Keith and April, we're teaming up together to teach people how to hike with their dog and camp with your dog and backpack with your dog, because there's all these other activities we can help teach people and their dogs to do safely together.
Interesting, because I take my dog every day for a walk, and we'll go on trails and things like that. But some of the other things that you've talked about, camping and hiking and being on a paddleboard, I can't imagine.
Oh, it's so fun. They like it just as much as people do. It's really neat, because you'll watch your dog notice a fish or a bird. They're observing nature too.
Yeah.
It's one of those activities where you and your dog are experiencing the same thing at the same time. Like when you're running an agility course or doing something like that, the dog's running a different course than you are. You're doing almost two separate things. But when you're paddleboarding, you're both enjoying nature and you're both, you know, feeling the water underneath you and experiencing the same sensations at the same time. So it's very special.
Oh, and Ted, she's got a great story this spring, I guess, when you were in Florida with the manatee.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been to Florida many, many times, and manatees are very curious creatures. They're very special and gentle, and I've paddled with them several times, but never with my dogs. And so this December, my husband and I went down to Homosassa Springs, and we got into the river, and I had both my dogs on my paddleboard. I was determined to introduce them to manatees, and it was a very magical experience, because both my dogs, they're Australian Shepherds, Riley and Kona, were very curious about the manatees, and the manatees were very curious about them. So I was watching my dogs peer over the rails of my board, and the manatees come up, and they would turn their heads to the side and look up at the dogs. And there was a moment there when I thought Riley was going to get a kiss from the manatee, because the manatee popped his nose up out of the water. But to see two different species curious about each other and just very comfortable, you know, in that situation was really special.
And one of the coolest parts about that story is no one fell off the board. It was her and her two dogs managed to stay on the board with a manatee.
That's what I was wondering, because I thought, especially maybe the dog would want to, you know, lunge for it or something.
Well, it all goes back to training. So I'm a big proponent. I'm also a dog trainer. And my biggest thing is that, you know, it took, you know, Kona is 6 now and Riley is 11. They've been paddling with me for 5 years. This is years in the making. I mean, my dogs are very well trained, and we train every day. Like, I do something with my dog every day to keep them well trained and well maintained. So that always goes back to just having well trained dogs.
That's what I wondered, because do certain species of dogs want to just naturally want to, you know, if they see something?
Oh, of course, yeah. Certain breeds have more prey drive than others.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of that is training. So, you know, a lot of people will say to me, well, my lab loves the water and my golden loves the water. Yeah, they do. Naturally, those breeds love water. They want to be in it. But we can still work with those breeds and train them to stay on the board. You just don't get off the board unless I say it's okay. And that's actually pretty easy to train.
Oh, okay. Well, the fact that you can do it, though, with both dogs, that's got to be a great sight.
Yeah, I created two monsters. Boy, yeah, it's hard to leave somebody at home, so I ended up with 90 pounds of Australian Shepherd on my board.
Well, and just like you say, just the memories that you create with the two of them.
Yeah, it's really special.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note, too, that when people are thinking about boards and their dogs, that they make a board for pretty much every situation. So when she talks about having 90 pounds on, now she's probably not more than 90 pounds. But, I mean, there's boards, and especially inflatable boards now, the way that they're making them, can really support ice chest for fishing. It can support humans with their pets. It can support all sorts of different sizes and shapes. So where you may be limited with other gear like kayaks, trying to figure out how to fit all of that in it, on a SUP board you really aren't. There is a board for nearly every single situation.
Yeah, we've actually been paddleboarding with our 170-pound Mastiff. So
did not go as well as Maria's.
you don't have the soft, gentle story? Mm-hmm.
We do not. It did not go well. But luckily, we have Maria, who is going to teach us.
I'm determined. Yeah, I have my challenge for the season. We're going to get that big guy on the water.
That'll be fantastic. You can come back, and we can do a story, and they can tell the same story that you just told, and it'll be, and they lived happily ever after. Yeah.
Very true.
Right. Well, I think it's an important part of the conversation that you shouldn't, like Keith and I did, everything wrong from the get-go, which is we just threw our dog into the situation and really didn't do the steps required to work up to putting that dog on the sup board. And so that's one of the neat things about having a dog trainer like Maria involved, is that she works with people to talk to them about how to take each of those appropriate steps. Whether you're gearing them up for a hike, you're gearing them up for a climb, you're gearing them up for a paddle, it really is a process, much like it would be bringing your kids outdoors or even training yourself to get outdoors to do any of these sports. It's no different. You just got to think about what it is that your pet needs to help build their confidence to get them outdoors. And that's one of the things that Maria does a lot of when she works with her clients.
So how long will it take, Maria, do you think? I mean, and I guess every dog is different.
Every
but like for
different.
April and Keith's dog, how long will it take to get it to where they can have that wonderful experience you had?
I have to meet this dog. I don't know yet. But every dog does learn different.
Yeah.
Every breed learns different. We have challenges with every dog. And I like to tell the story I like to tell is that my 11-year-old Australian Shepherd, I taught him when he was 5. He learned in a week. Within 1 week of training and sitting and conditioning him on the board in our living room, he was ready to go to the water. My other Australian Shepherd, Kona, 4 months. It took her 4 months to feel comfortable and confident on the board. So I start all of my classes, my 2-day weekend classes, with that story to tell people, look, you might not get this in a weekend. You might not get it in a week. It might take a couple months, and that's okay. You just have to build your dog up over time.
You know, when you're out hiking and you may have try to take a hike that's a little bit too hard for you physically, you get very frustrated and you go home and you don't want to go out again. It's a very similar experience with your animal. You just have to have patience, just like you have patience with yourself to build yourself up to the hikes that you want to take. It's the same thing with your dog. It's just being patient and learning and working it together. And I think with all of us being so busy with work schedules and other commitments, that being able to spend that time with your dog and having the patience with yourself and your animal, it's fun to build that partnership together.
It's bonding. It's bonding and it's trust. And April's absolutely right. It's just over time. People think, oh, you know, a dog should know how to hike and should know how to do all these things. Well, actually, some are quick studies and some just need more teaching and guidance. And it's a game of patience sometimes.
You ought to write a book on, you know, pets and in the outdoors, because this, you know, you're talking about things I just never even considered.
Ted, that's my third book.
Yeah.
You've written?
That's my third book.
Oh, okay.
No, seriously. I think a guide that does talk about not just paddleboarding, but biking and camping and backpacking. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the third book.
And she, her first book is Sup With Your Pup. She literally wrote the book on the subject.
Seriously? Because I was just going to say, Sup With A Pup is such a great name.
How to Sup With Your Pup. I think that's why it's so successful, because the name is catchy.
Wow. So you're like 10 steps ahead of me right now.
Yeah.
So I guess in some ways, if I'm looking out at the river these days and seeing people out with their animals, and I can credit you with helping, you know, teach some of these people to do that.
Yeah, it might have been my book, it might have been my classes, it might have been our Instagram feed. It's really funny. Fun to help people get out there and inspire them. You know, you could do this too. You know, I learned, I made mistakes along the way, but I had a training plan, and I just want to share that plan.
Now, you mentioned climbing. So, Keith and I have this, I mean, he's determined that one of these days I'm going to go climbing with him, but you can tell, but especially now, if he can say, you know, animals can come along to some of this, so that you that they can climb too.
Well, yeah,
with limits.
So I used to boulder. I was really big into bouldering. And with bouldering, you climb giant boulders.
Okay.
There's no gear. There's no ropes or anything like that. So I would be, 20, 30 feet off the ground. And Riley would be sleeping on the crash pad, running through the forest,
okay.
making friends with other climbers. He was with me. And a lot of times, he's such a smart dog, I would climb up the face of the boulder, and I'd get to the lip and look over, and Riley would already be there looking down at me, like, hey, dummy, there's an easier way up the back. What are you doing? But actually, I know people and other ambassadors with the company that I work with called Roughwear. They make weight-bearing harnesses for dogs. You can pull your dogs up some pretty steep things. It's not something that I do with my dogs anymore, but that's possible too.
Yeah, and really all around here, you know, every time we go over to Seneca to go climbing, there's always a group of people there who, you know, bring their dogs along. And more often than not, you know, kind of what Maria was speaking to with the training aspect, the dog just knows, hey, you know, this is where my boss started. He's going to be coming right back down, or she's going to be coming right back down the same area. So a lot of times the dogs will end up just kind of staying in that kind of the general base area of the climb. And, you know, it's really, you know, what we're trying to do is, you know, I think a lot of times people use almost their pets as an excuse not to go outdoors. They say, oh, shoot, I can't go do that because I've been working all week and my dog's been locked up. So I've got to spend some time and take the dog for a walk on the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to kind of facilitate the idea that, hey, if you're a climber, just take your dog with you to the rocks. If you're a paddler, take your dog out paddling. If you're a hiker, take your dog out hiking. You know, it's just given another excuse for, one, you can have that bonding experience, and two, you can get another appreciation for the outdoors and really continue along, you know, whatever kind of adventure path you want to take. But now you can learn how to do it with your pets, with your animals.
We need to take a break. Before we break here, though, Marie, where can we get your books?
River Rock Outfitter.
Okay. They're there. Get them. I mean, this is just fascinating stuff. Maria Schultz here, Keith and April Peterson, riverrockoutfitter.com. River Rock's at 915 Safaya Street over by the river. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spring outside, our focus this morning. Keith and April Peterson with River Rock Outfitter here. They're on Safaya Street downtown. And Maria Schultz is here. She is a ACA certified paddling instructor. And we've been talking about just getting out and doing that and doing things with animals. One thing we didn't talk about, Maria, is, and I want to talk to April. April is my passionate person to talk to about life preservers and that kind of thing. Do dogs need that? Do you need to put something on your dog?
Absolutely. You know, I have three big reasons why I always tell people your dog should have a personal flotation device on when they're in the water. The first reason is safety, right? So we're in a river, and that river moves. There's actually current in that river. My older dog, Riley, he's got bad hips. And sometimes you got to be your dog's brain, right? They love the water. They're swimming. They're going to tire. And they're not going to let you know. They want to keep playing. So if Riley gets really tired and he can't swim back to me, well, he's got that flotation that's going to help him. So it makes your dog a whole lot safer in the water. Mm-hmm. Number two is visibility. If my dog falls off the board, I want other boaters, kayakers, to see my dog. We do see jet skis and motorboats in that river. So in certain sections, they fall off and we get separated. I want a brightly colored jacket, something reflective on my dog so other people can see him. And then the third reason is that handle, right? Dogs don't have handles. There isn't a great way to grab a dog. Dog falls off a paddleboard, kayak, boat, whatever. You have an 80-pound lab, 90 pounds when they're wet.
Yeah.
Getting that dog back on a vessel is kind of difficult, so we need that handle.
April, I know all I need to say to you is personal flotation device and off you go. And I still am amazed as I walk along the river and see people kayaking or in canoes, and sometimes with kids, and they don't have anything on.
They just don't. And I really, it's something that is so easy to do, something that's so inexpensive. And as Maria said, all of the reasons, maybe minus the handle, are the same for adults. It's no different. It's, you can get out there, if even those vests that you pull and they inflate, if you have heat stroke or you pass out, or if you get knocked out because you hit a tree branch or somebody hits you on another boat, how are you going to pull that? You're going to have it on your waist. And if you drowned, it's going to be an even sadder story that you had something that you just couldn't use because you were unable to. Just put a life vest on. They're super cute. They're really comfortable. They're not like our old school camp life vest anymore.
Where the orange ones.
The orange ones that strangle you. Life vests are awesome. And with all the technology now, there isn't any reason for people not to use them. And Keith was even mentioning this morning that, you know, as he was driving by the river yesterday, all the fishermen that are out in the river, and not one of them are in a life vest. And there are life vests specifically for fishermen so that they don't get in the way of your cast. And these life vests have all the same pockets as all those other bags that they're carrying, except it also has flotation. And why wouldn't you have that? It just doesn't make sense to me. And when we're constantly hearing on the news or on the radio that more people are dying, you know, just yesterday, two more young 20-year-old men died on the Potomac because their boat flipped and they were not wearing life vests. It's just, it's terrible, and it's something that we could prevent. And as Maria mentioned, when you're thinking about yourself and you're thinking about your kids, also think about those animals when you get them out on the water, and make sure that you know, we're being smart both on our behalf but on those that look to us for their safety.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, they look at the Rappahannock and they just automatically think, oh, this thing only comes up to my knees or my waist or even a little bit above my waist, and high, not high tide, but when it's, you know, after a good rain and the water's up. But, you know, one of the biggest things people need to consider is the fact that, you know, it's a moving river. There are some parts of it where it can get to start, you know, moving pretty quickly. And it doesn't take much to get swept off your feet. And next thing you know, your head down in the water trying to get yourself back up. And if you're wearing something like waders, those things are just going to fill up with water and almost prevent you from being able to stand back up. So, you know, that's one of the key things that we try to preach is just that, you know, maintaining that safety aspect and wearing a PFD at all times. Because, you know, once again, kind of echoing what April said, they're very comfortable now. You know, it's they're nice, they're comfortable, they don't get in your way of paddling or casting. So, you know, there's no real reason not to wear one.
And there's so much that you can't control. I mean, you can't control the weather. You can't control if rushing water comes down the Rappahannock because of something that's happening up north. You can't control your environment, but the one thing that you can control is what you do. And that's one of the things we talk to people about all the time, is just make sure that you are being as smart as you can be and as prepared as you can be. So whether that's making sure that you have the right first aid equipment with you no matter what you're doing, whether that means that you've conditioned yourself appropriately for the environment that you're in, whether that's you wearing a life vest when you're out on the river, control the things that you can control. And then when stuff goes out of control, you're going to be able to handle it just a little bit better. And don't test fate. There is no reason for it. When there is comfortable, appropriate gear, just get smart on what that gear is and make sure that you're ready for any of the environment you're out playing in.
And when the river goes down, you see there's so much underneath on the floor of the river, just tree branches and stuff, but big stuff.
Yeah,
that we don't see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times, even when the top of the river looks nice and smooth and that it's you know, not rolling too quickly, underneath the water, the current is strong. And that's the part that you can't see. And like he said, you get swept up just because you lose your footing or for whatever reason. And all the roots on the bottom of the river now become hazards. You know, your foot gets caught. Now all of a sudden you can't get up. And even if you are a strong swimmer, it's already grabbed you. It's pulled you under, and now you're not popping back up. And again, all because you did not want to wear a life vest. It's an incredible waste that we can actually prevent really easily. And if anybody wants to know more about that, talk to any talk to, you know, come talk to us about Life Vest, talk to Virginia Outdoor Center, talk to the ACA, talk to instructors like Maria, just learn about what Life Vests are available out there and get smart on it and make sure that you're wearing one this season.
Well, and then the statistic that always gets you is the number of people that have died on the river over the years and that no one with a life jacket ever has.
That's exactly right. That's absolutely right. And if that alone doesn't make you want to get a life vest, you know, I'm not sure what will.
Boy, Keith, fishermen, you don't think of that. And I'm sure they're thinking, well, I'm just standing, you know, a couple feet from the shore.
Exactly. And, you know, and April was talking about it a little bit earlier when we were driving around this weekend, just since it is, you know, shad season, ton of fishermen are out there. And if anybody's looked at the river the past couple of days with the rain that we've been getting, it's up high and it's moving fast. And so it is one of those things that, you know, with the materials that they have now, you know, it almost, a PFD almost fits you just like a shirt. You know, it's got thin padding or thin flotation device, whatever you want to call it. They're well ventilated. They've got all the pockets that you need for all of your, you know, accessories when you're fishing. There's really not a good reason not to have one, to tell you the truth. It's not, you know, they're not huge, bulky, they're not hot. It's something that's so easy to do, and yet we see it all the time. People still just don't use them. And, you know, we try to get the word out there, and we understand some people, there's a common misperception about PFDs and how they fit and how uncomfortable, you know, people think they are. And that's what we're trying to do, is trying to make sure that perception is changed and it's looked upon positively. But, you know, you're still always going to have the individuals who just refuse to wear one, but we will continue to fight it as we can.
No, and I would see, Maria, you're a good example that you're always wearing one. When I see somebody who really knows their way around the water wearing one, I'm thinking if you're still wearing one, I certainly need to.
Absolutely. I never go out without a life jacket on myself and both of my dogs. That's just, I mean, we're super experienced. We're all good swimmers, but I still wear my life jacket every single time. And we're setting an example. I feel like it's important. That's really part of my mission and everything that I do, is I want people to be safe out on the water. I've heard a story about a woman who drowned out in Colorado trying to save her dog. Her dog didn't have a life jacket on. That probably could have been prevented. But
and so it starts. Yeah, the dog serious. Starts to struggle,
yeah,
and you're trying to save.
You can't get that 80-pound, you know, 90-pound dog back on your board. Yeah, it's really sad. So we got to be safe. Got to keep our dog safe. And
well, as we talk about animals and getting them out, Maria Schultz here, along with Keith and April Peterson, this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. As we talk about this, it would seem like, besides just, you know, you talked about just kind of the bonding and the experience and the fun, it's also healthy for dogs to get out and not just be always, you know, laying around and sleeping.
Absolutely. Oh, I can't even tell you. Like I said, my dog Riley has hip dysplasia. He was diagnosed at 5 with terrible hips. He's 11 and he's still hiking 9 to 10 miles with me. And that's because we swim all the time. Every time we go out paddleboarding, he gets a swimming session because that keeps his muscles strong. But he's active, and we do so much with him, and that's why he's able to do all of this in his senior years. You know, we've just kept him going and kept all the muscles around his bad hips strong. So, and then Kona, our younger Australian Shepherd, she's just a mutant. Like, her legs are just enormous, and she is the dog I can take, you know, mountain biking 10 miles with me. She'll follow me running, you know, sprinting at 12, 13 miles an hour on a mountain bike trail with me. So they both have very different levels of activity, but they're super fit dogs. And then they're tired at the end of the day, and they're not chewing up my house and whining at me and barking. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Do you take water along for them?
Yes, I do. And there's a number of different ways that I like to carry water. When we're on a paddleboard, I'm carrying it in a bag or a camel bag,
okay,
or an insulated bottle to keep it cold. Sometimes when we're hiking, Riley and Kona have hydration packs. They have little backpacks with water bladders in them, so I make them carry some water. And then, of course, I always carry water for myself. Again, in insulated containers and camel bags, it all just depends on the activity. But we always stay trying to stay hydrated.
And I guess, Keith, for us humans, that's another big thing. I mean, I've gotten caught going on hikes and figuring it's not that hot. I'll be okay. And all of a sudden, you get out there and you're a lot of times I've had to turn around and come back.
Oh yeah,
I haven't been able to go as far as I wanted because I just didn't bring a couple of bottles of water along.
And it happens to everybody, you know. I mean, even instructors who've done this all the time, you know, they'll go out. I remember it was last year we took a group out to Seneca for, you know, our kind of annual climbing extravaganza. And, you know, I started out the morning with 3 liters of water, you know, that was, you know, carrying up with me. And about halfway through the day, I'd burned through it, you know, and the sun was still out and it was blaring. And people just don't realize how much. And that was 3 liters of water that I just pounded through within the first couple of hours.
Yeah.
And I still technically had, you know, a couple more hours of climbing to go. And people just don't realize how much water you actually go through and how much water you need to keep on your person when you're out there doing this sort of stuff, especially in this area where it does get to be, you know, 90 plus degrees in the middle of the day. You do have areas where the sun is just, you know, beating down on you. So being, you know, preparing properly and making sure that you do have water on your person, or even, you know, making sure that, you know, your entire group has enough water, because that's another problem too, especially on the instructing side, is the worst thing that can happen is you have a student who runs out of water and they start having a horrible time. So more often than not, you're going to start giving your water to the student to make sure that person is comfortable. Yeah. And, you know, and that just kind of, just by one person not preparing properly, that it can end up being, you know, almost a dangerous situation for the entire group. So that's another aspect of preparedness that you have to focus on, and that's, you know, proper hydration.
When we come back, we're going to wrap this up, but we want to talk about River Rock has offered a lot of teaching and just getting people out. I want to talk to you guys about just some of the types of people that you're seeing coming out, because we talk all the time about how you've really wanted to get people involved, and you really are getting all ages involved. And we'll do that when we wrap it up. Keith and April Peterson here, Maria Schultz here, RiverRockOutfitter.com, the website there at 915 Sophia Street. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Maria Schultz is here along with Keith and April Peterson as we talk about spring, getting out with in the outdoors along with your pets. One of the things Keith and April with the River Rock does, and you do have these great, a lot of times just kind of weeknight kind of courses on some of these topics.
Yeah, absolutely. We found with a lot of people that it's a confidence issue. When we talk about why are you not getting out into your own backyard to explore, either on the trails or on the water, it's just people don't know where to get started. They don't understand the access points. They don't know what the rules and regulations are. And then they also don't understand how to use the gear. Sometimes when you take a look at filtration devices, they look very complicated, like you need to be an engineer to know how to actually operate them. Or cooking stoves or any of the other things, bear bagging. When do you need to hang your bear, you know, your bags, and when do you need to worry about bears? Some of these things sound very scary. I don't want a amoeba, getting in my belly, or a bear, or all of these other things.
Say
so
bear.
Keeps you indoors.
Keith, you have to do is say bear, and I'm not climbing with you. I'm going back to the car.
And yeah. It's so easy. These things are very, very simple. And so because we've hired such smart experts on it and people who are actually users and smart out on the trail and water, they host these free clinics all the time at River Rock where they'll talk about filtration devices and which ones are most appropriate for different areas, or how to light stoves. And that's been one of the really neat things, in particular working with our women and teens, because those are two groups of people that are hungry for the information. They've always relied on their parents to either do it for them, or they've relied on their husbands or significant others, and they're wanting to get out on their own. And so when we take a group of women and we tell them, okay, here's how you light up a camp stove, and then we tell them, we're not going to do it for you. You're going to have to do it yourself, and have them light it up, and to see their excitement over just accomplishing boiling water on a camp stove. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. It's motivating for us. And then to see their Instagram accounts or Facebook accounts where they're actually using the skills out on the trail, and they've met up people. And I think that's one of the powers of our meetup is that we're connecting these dots for these people who had never gotten outdoors before, and they're meeting new friends, and they're getting out on trail and getting out on the water. I think easily it's the most motivating thing for us since being in business.
And Keith, I know it was last weekend. You did a climbing exercise, or you took some people out, and I noticed the age of the people.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to do this. We talk about it. I think almost every single time we come on your show is that a lot of people have this misunderstanding of the outdoors where they think, okay, I've got to be young and in shape to go out and do all these great activities. And this last weekend, I had my first climbing 101 class for the season. And I had four students in the class. One of them was my age, and the other three are, past retirement age. And they were out there and they were tearing it up. They had no issues whatsoever. And that's, part of it. Part of it is not, it's not simply, you're not going out there to, just destroy it. You're going out there to learn and have a good time. Yeah. And so that's the whole purpose of the instructor. The instructor is first and foremost going to make sure you're safe. But secondly, it is a period of instruction. We're going out there to teach you how to get up the rock face. And you can be older. You can be a little bit overweight. You can be, have no experience with the outdoors whatsoever. But, we can make it work for you. And that was the case for this past weekend is once again, 75% of my students were past retirement age and they still went out there and they were climbing the rocks and having a great time and rappelling and learning the systems. And, that's what we want to do. We want to be that facilitator.
And Ted, in our very first season, a woman came in, she was a little over 350 pounds, and she said all she wanted to do was paddle and to be able to fit in one of the boats. And over the last couple of seasons, she's come in and she's lost weight and she's really getting out there, hitting it hard. She's hiking, she's walking the Heritage Trail. And she said, April, I'm going to lose the weight and I'm coming in to buy a boat from you. It may be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. I don't know when, but I'm coming back to get a boat. And this season, she just came in and bought her boat. She has lost 150 pounds just being outdoors. And that's all it is. I think it's having a group of people that inspires you to get outdoors, to get healthy, to lose the weight. You have this passion. You want to be on the river. And that's the exciting thing, I think, for us is showing people that it isn't just a young man's game. Anyone can get out there and do it and be healthy.
Go ahead.
I learned early on, for me, it's about the experience and sharing that experience with my dogs than it is about crushing it. I had a choice a while back. I could be a racer. I could really go out and crush it on a paddleboard. But I decided it's more special to share this with my dogs. I'm not winning any racers or going very fast with 90 pounds of dog on my board. But it's not about that. It's just about being outside, creating a bond, being in nature. And it's not about crushing it or going fast.
That's
it's
just
about having fun.
I was just going to ask. I was just going to say to kind of wrap this up that as we talk about it, age and in your case this morning, just talking to us about take your pets along and it might take some training to get them to do some things, but you can really make a memory that way.
Yep, absolutely.
And you've talked about, Marie, just so many things this morning that we just don't think about. So there are things out there, and you've got, like you said, you've got some books out there, and River Rock's got them.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm at River Rock. I'm ready to help. So if anyone has any questions, you want to get out with your dog, come see us at River Rock.
Maria Schultz. Maria, thank you for coming in. Great stuff. And to have you here locally in offering this great stuff, it's great to have you here.
Thank you, Ted. Thanks for having me.
Maria Schultz, an ACA certified paddling instructor. She's at River Rock. Keith and April Peterson, they're always at River Rock.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you again. And we'll talk again this summer.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ted.
Thank you.
Best four times of the year to have you guys in. RiverRockOutfitter.com. They're at 915 Sophia Street. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.